It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It's going to be a tricky circle of swarm that we do at 720. You're right, Seth. Kind of jotting down names. I'm like, wow, it's slim pickings this week.
I feel
week.
Bad about some of the people that we're going to have to eject from it.
I do,
but,
too.
But actually, a couple guys are safer than I thought they would be.
Okay.
So we'll be good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, I'm intrigued to see who gets. Last week, we had a lot of people really angry about multiple different players being left out of the circle of swarm, which is only six people. Only six people allowed.
Six
in the circle
and only
of swarm.
Six. Yes.
Yeah. No participation trophies here.
Yep.
And this week, I'm curious. I'm really, honestly, very interested in who will be which players. Listeners will be upset that we left out.
Yeah.
So we'll get
or put in, as it were. You know, we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
By the way, we did not mention this about the Thursday night football game. Micah Parsons left that game last night with an injury that he's got.
Oh,
get
he didn't
in.
Come back? Okay.
He did not.
Right.
No. And he's,
I'll be honest with you. I was drifting in and out.
Yeah.
So.
No, x-rays were negative, but he's getting an MRI. So we'll see. It was a lower leg injury of some sort, but he did not come back in that game last night. Cowboys win 20-15. Now I'm looking, Micah Parsons did sit at his locker and talk to the media last night, so it wasn't one of those things where it wasn't a severe enough injury to where they sequestered him away somewhere else. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Texans and Jags coming up on Sunday. Noon kick. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I get the festivities kicked off at 9 a.m. Before we get to Bobby Slowick, we had a listener ask earlier. We've had a few people ask, like, where exactly do you guys do the pregame show? Fact is, there's just more and more people out there now that want to know this because the Texans are very popular. The stage is on the southeast. It's outside the southeast corner of the stadium. It used to be in Bud Light Plaza. So we're in that same general area. We're just outside Bud Light Plaza. You can't miss it. If you're standing outside the southeast corner of the stadium where you come in from you walk in from the blue lot and you got the Astrodome on the right and NRG Stadium on the left. It's the gigantic stage with me and Seth talking on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss it. So yeah, come by.
Yeah, it's not any of the other stages where you and I are talking on it. It's the one right in that location.
In that area,
that
yes.
About. Yes.
Yep. So come by and say hi, man. We love seeing the listeners out there. We appreciate it. Bobby Slowick met with the media yesterday. This is, I think it's safe to say, like, this is, I don't want to over-exaggerate and say this is a turning point with Bobby Slowick and the fan base, but I think this is the most skeptical, critical, whatever it is, that the fan base has been with Bobby Slowick since he got here. You know, last year was a honeymoon. This year's not a honeymoon by any means. Team's 2-1, but the offense has not looked nearly close to what people were thinking it was going to look like. Here's Bobby Slowick on how the play callers and the players get on the same page.
You execute, you know. That, I mean, really all the way across the board as far as last week goes, it really wasn't good by anybody. It wasn't good by coaches. We didn't do a good enough job as far as getting communicated what we want done. Scheme-wise, we didn't do a good enough job. And then when we were out there, just, I mean, the number of times we ran a play that everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing probably could be counted on one hand. You know, which you doesn't matter who lines up across from you, you're going to have a rough time in a game like that. So we've made a commitment this week to we're worried about the Texans. We're ready to roll and just focused in on doing our job and doing it the way we want to do it. And let's go play clean football.
That that count on one hand quote right there. That's a quote right there, man.
Yeah. In other words,
that's
guys,
good
we're
stuff.
Just not, yeah. And that is I think sometimes there's a tendency to think the offensive coordinator's job is calling plays and that's it. No, like when Bobby Slowick says they've got to execute, he's not excusing himself from this poor execution. That is specifically his job. I personally think the play calls have been just fine. It's just everything that Bobby Slowick just said, which falls on him, is that you've got too many guys doing the wrong thing or just getting their butts beat in any given moment. So players getting their butts beat. Okay, sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes guys just flat out, they're not physically ready for it or they're still developing or what have you. But when they're using bad technique or when they're just simply not performing their responsibilities, yeah, that all goes back on Bobby Slowick. Their inability to get a run game going, that falls back on Bobby Slowick. Not picking up the blitzes. I don't care about how hard it is versus the Vikings. It was an issue before the Vikings. So that does all come back ultimately to Bobby Slowick. The one thing I worry about with this offense, and it's every offense in the NFL, it's when you start trying to get too complex or you start thinking you're more advanced than you were last year, then the more complex you get, the more guys screw up. So there's this constant balancing act between simplifying and executing what you're doing properly versus like having answers to stuff that the defense is doing to you. And maybe at this point you got to get back to basics in a lot of regards and say, all right, look, we're going to be a little bit more limited in what we ask you guys to do. We just need you to do it really, really well when we ask you to do it.
You can count on one hand the number of plays where everybody was doing their job. That is something, man.
Where's that Henry David Thoreau quote I had put in here? Here it is. Our life is frittered away by detail. Simplify, simplify, simplify. I say let your affairs be as two or three and not 100 or 1,000. And this goes, I think that Bobby Slowick might have been reading some Thoreau beforehand.
Oh, for sure.
He said, this is what Thoreau said. Instead of a million, count half a dozen. Keep your accounts on your thumbnail. So, yeah, you could count on one hand the number of times they did things right. He just, yeah, I'd like to count on one hand or one thumbnail the number of plays we're trying to execute, and then maybe we'll get it right, damn it.
Someone comes up to me at a bar this weekend, and they say, hey, Sean, summarize your brand, Payne and Pendergast, in one sentence. You know, the culture of your show in one sentence that's been uttered on the show. I think I would play for them. Where's that Henry David Thoreau quote that I put in the rundown? We are the.
You know the fun thing about Thoreau is when he went off to live in his cabin and lived a simple life. Also, he did have his mom and his sister like stockpiling him with food every. They would bring him nice little
cheater
packages, all that.
And cheater.
He would send his laundry back to his.
No way.
To his mom's house.
I thought he was living a rustic life out there in Lake Walden. What the hell?
That's a comment. No, it's not his fault. He didn't present it as anything different than what it was. Yeah, people like to have this image of Thoreau being just a hermit out in the woods.
Yeah.
It had gone completely native. No. He had means, and he wasn't jailed for not paying his taxes because he couldn't pay his taxes. It was he chose not to pay his
taxes.
This is
like finding out that the Notre Dame football team didn't really go in and forfeit their jerseys to get Rudy on the field in that last game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think of Thoreau in a completely different light right now.
Hey, how
I
you
think
go?
Of him all the time.
How did you live the simple life? I went to live off in a distant corner of my vast estate.
Basically lived in his guest house. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's great. Didn't see the show go in this direction, but I like it. Let's get back to Bobby Slowick, the Henry David Thoreau of coordinators. What can you do to help prevent the offensive penalties, Bobby?
Our role is to ensure it does not happen. You know, I mean, we know the rules. This has been a recurring theme for us really since camp that showed up all the way across the offense. I know the offensive line was getting dinged last week. It's been with eligibles as far as alignment, illegal procedures, motion operation. I mean, like we have to get that cleaned up, and we are making sure that happens.
Yeah, again, going back to them trying to do all this advanced stuff and during camp saying it's cool because we got all this other good stuff already figured out. So now we're on to the 301 level stuff and the 401 level stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like planning for your retirement when you've been late to work every day this week, you know,
yeah.
And you've been fired three times in the last month.
Yeah.
It's just you don't put the cart ahead of the horse. Sometimes you got to go back to basics and start doing the simple stuff right before you can start planning for your retirement.
Yep.
That's where the Texans are right now. And a lot of the penalties, the frustrating thing about the penalties is – you know, people continue to try to make excuses for Laremy Tunsil and how it's no big deal because that's just what good offensive tackles do. They try to time the snap count. I've done even further research into this, Sean,
as I keep going back.
Remember, Laremy Tunsil has 7 false starts already in 3 games.
3 games, yeah.
In the last 3 seasons, the all-pro offensive tackles have committed over the course of the entire season.
Love this.
Last year... there were Trent Williams committed 3, Penei Sewell committed 2. The year before that, Trent Williams committed 4, Lane Johnson committed 2. The entire season. The year before that, Trent Williams committed 1, Tristan Wirfs committed 2 false starts. So it turns out it is indeed possible to be a really good offensive tackle without false starting at a breakneck pace.
7 times.
Yes.
Do we know what the record is for individual? I'm Googling right now. And
7 or 8. The last few years, I didn't find anybody that had more than, I think it was 8 or 9 false starts in a single season.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he's and then if you go to pre-snap penalties, which is usually the illegal alignments,
yeah.
He's way, way above. Usually it's like 10 is the record for the season,
yeah,
for any offensive lineman or any player in general.
Right, right, right. I would just love to, I would love, if somebody could find out. I'm guessing that, you know, somewhere out there that exists. Like, we know. I'm Googling right now, and they don't have.
No, Sean, I've got the data. You just asked me. I've got
no,
my,
no, no,
my
no, no,
website.
No, I'm talking, like, the record for the. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm saying I know where to go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, if you find out, I would love to know, because that's something I'd like to track this year. And if Laramie gets close enough, then I start kind of rooting
for
him.
No, he's already very close to, like, at least a modern record.
For a full season.
It's astounding, yeah, how bad he is at,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
He's really, really atrocious at it. And it's the other thing that drives me insane is that, and I don't know where these people are coming up with, like, I guess it's because they want to be contrarian or whatever to the way they need to defend Laramie Tunsil with his false starts. They'll say, well, that's part of him being such a good pass protector. Like, right. Right. Well, like, okay, so how about he tries to be a good pass protector without
by not giving
cheating
up
to
yards.
Such an extreme,
yeah,
degree?
Yeah.
Do you even know how good a pass protector he is?
Right.
Plus, these other guys that I mentioned that are all pros, they actually give a damn about run blocking.
Yeah.
So it's not, let's not reduce this down to pass protection being the only damn thing that matters. How about being a good, complete overall offensive?
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lineman.
So what I'm hearing you say is he's already probably pretty close to the season long record.
Oh no. If he continued at this pace, he'd be.
Oh, this, yes, pace for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I'd like to get to a point. If he's that close, then I just want to start rooting for it to happen. I'd like, yeah, to see ESPN stop games in other sports so they could pipe in the Texans game for a little bit. You know, like they did with Aaron Judge's at bats.
Uh-huh.
For the American League, the long hallowed American League home run record. Remember, they'd cut into Big 12 football games for Aaron Judge at bats at like 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday to see if. I'd like to see that. Like the Texans offense takes the field, and all of a sudden, bowling on FS1 or on ESPN, they've got a split screen while the Texans are on there to see if Laramie breaks the long hallowed false start record, because he's well, yep, on his way right now.
If I'll give you, I can give you a hint as to perhaps what we'll see.
Okay.
Where last year the league leader in false starts had 9 false start penalties,
okay,
through the entire season.
Okay.
This year Laramie Tunsil has 7.
7.
Through just 3 games.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago Laramie Tunsil led the league with 7 false starts. So good for him, man. He's operating,
well, he's
at almost 6,
dude.
He's
why
almost
are,
6 times as good at jumping at,
yeah,
false starts as he was 2 years ago.
Why are you all over him? He's consistent as hell. He's taken
3 years ago the league leader had 7, Alex Leatherwood. It's really astounding.
Right.
He's definitely going to set a record this year if he keeps this.
Oh, up. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, then there's that.
I haven't found any. I've gone back 4 years and the highest number was 9 in any given season.
Okay, he's going to sail past that.
Yeah,
he'll get to that by end of October, easy. By end of October, I mean end of September.
Oh,
he could get 2 more on Sunday.
The previous high watermark going back through 2019 was also Laramie Tunsil in 2019 when he had 12.
I've heard of him.
That's,
yeah,
tough.
Yeah,
that's,
he had 12?
Yeah, 12 in 2019.
Dude, this is absurd.
It's so stupid,
this is absurd,
man. It's ridiculous.
I'm just kidding. I'm trying to make light of it right now, just because it's so exasperating. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
It's so selfish, man. Yeah. It's just a guy being in business for himself. Like in every other year, Laremy Tunsil's been among the like the top one or two at least four times in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Or three times in the last 6 years. Yeah, like 2009 is or nine false starts on the season has been like the usual high watermark for any player in the league.
Yeah.
So he's already surpassed that once, and he's well on his way to it this year.
Oh yeah. Let's hear more from Bobby Slowick here. We'll get to the Circle of Swarm in a couple of minutes. What does Bobby Slowick see with how teams are attacking the run game? Worked great in week one with Joe Mixon. It has worked poorly the last couple weeks. How are teams attacking the Texans' run game?
I'd say last week we ran the ball nine times, so I don't even know if there's enough evidence there to go off of. We had like 2.7 a carry, so we didn't do it well, but also you need to run it more than nine times to really see how you're running the ball. The Chicago in particular was something that we know we could have executed better. We were closer to than what we were last week, but you know, just fundamentally really against Chicago we were a little loose, and then last week was really execution. But when it's things that are not physical, when it's things that, you know, are things we can correct, that doesn't make it any easier. You need to correct it, but we're fully capable of correcting that.
This one annoyed me because a little bit of that baked into only running the ball nine times is like, well, you don't want to be passing on second and 10 after you got stuffed on first down running the ball. Right. You don't want to be running the ball on second down. One leads to the other. Yeah. You can't run the ball, and you're shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, so you only have so many opportunities to run the ball. But you can't run the ball when you don't. You're less likely to run the ball the second or third time when you don't run the ball well the first time. So, I don't accept that part of it. I thought they showed plenty enough that they couldn't run the ball last week, though it was only nine times.
Have you seen stuff that defensive linemen are doing against them?
The defensive line, they're slanting a lot, run a lot of games and stuff, a lot of movement. It's really screwed Shaq Mason and Juice Scruggs up at times when a defensive tackle slants from the B gap to the A gap. And yeah, that's difficult, but there's ways to handle it and not look like haphazard fools while you're doing it. Some of that you can help out with play calling, you know, just either with more inside zone instead of outside zone, or you run traps or counters. And I don't know if the Texans are good enough at any of that. That all goes back to the old execution part of it. We're calling the plays that are theoretically answers for this D-line movement, but those aren't working either because guys can't do anything right.
You know who's getting a lot of love on the text page? Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, yeah?
Someone says, I'm about to throw up.
That doesn't sound like love.
Thoreau 101 through 601, available only at Cornell. Minor in Thoreau. Oh, man, that's funny. All right, someone's asking if Prize Picks ever has a more or less than on Laremy Tunsil false starts. I don't think so, but they should. They should.
It's fascinating.
It is.
It's really, it's got to be even money on whether he breaks his own modern record for
right,
false starts.
Right,
12 is a pretty impressive number.
Dude.
I mean, 12 is a lot.
12 is like 60 home runs, you know, like that's... That's hard to get 12 false starts in a year.
12 false starts.
Here's the thing, too. This is going to sound like a backhanded compliment to Laremy.
Oh, crap.
Because it's a backhanded compliment to Laremy. But you've got to actually be a pretty good player to get 12 false starts in a season. Because most guys would probably get their job yanked from them after, like, the eighth one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's like they used to say back in the day, there were only a handful of guys that lost 20 games in a season in baseball. And the fact of the matter is, you've got to be a pretty good baseball. You got to be a decent pitcher to lose 20 games because it means your team stuck with you through the entire season, losing 20 games. You know, like you see the guys that lose 20 games, their ERAs are actually sometimes kind of respectable. So same
Sean,
exact
I've
thing.
I've gone back through 2012 on this thing now, and it is very rare to see a league leader in false starts have double-digit false starts.
Is 12 still the high that you've seen?
12 is still the high that I've seen. Laremy Tunsil's high water mark going back through 2011 was the 12 false starts he had in 2019.
Okay, good.
I'm back to 2011, yeah. And it's just there have only been a couple, only two instances where it was double digits, maybe three, I think, and Laramie had one of them. But yeah, he's well on his way.
How far
man.
Back does that website? Is that the NFLpenalties.com that you were talking about?
This is on Football Database.
Okay.
FootballDB.com.
How far back does it go?
I'm back down through 2010 now. Laramie still has the high water mark. Looks like I can go back to 2006.
Okay.
So this will be my... I'll do this at the end of the show.
Okay,
I'll figure out just how good Laramie is at false starting.
That's what we'll call the modern era. 2006. In the modern era, Laramie Tunsil has the most false starts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.